Second Chronicles 24, which has more detail than the detail in Joash and Second Kings chapter 12, but there's some details in Second Kings chapter 12 that's not in Second Chronicles 24. It's a fairly long narrative. This is a very important passage dealing with the nature of faith. And perhaps one of the greatest illustrations in the scriptures when it comes to, you know, what faith really is. And so a person's upbringing does not necessarily guarantee that when that person is away from the upbringing, that they'll continue on what they're taught. And we see this, perhaps the primary example in Scripture is Joash. Joash did very well when his tutor was alive, but then he shows his true colors. And one of the things we have to realize, a person really is what they are when they're acting on their own without any other influence. That's what they really are. There's a difference between acting the way people expect you to act and acting the way you really are. You know, James Dobson put it, you are what you are when your cup is bumped and what's inside spills out. And that's what happens. So let's take a look at this fairly lengthy narrative, because I think it's important to understand the, not necessarily the progression, but actually the regression of what happens. Chapter 24, 2 Chronicles, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Now Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. I want you to notice that. Not all the days of his life, but all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. And then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the kings called Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the assembly of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced and brought their contributions and put them into the chest until all had given. And so it was at that time when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, that the king's scribes and the high priest's officers came and emptied the chest and took it and returned it to its place. Thus they did day by day and gathered the money in abundance. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. They hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. And so the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them. They restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king in Jehoiada. And they made it from it articles of the house of the Lord, and articles for serving and offering, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He's 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. And after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served the wooden images and idols. And the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against him, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, "Thus says God, who do you trespass against the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you've forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." And so they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. As he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." And so it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed the leaders of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed. And so he died, and they buried him into the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. These are the ones who conspired against him: Zabad, the son of Shimeath, the Ammonitess, and the Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith, the Moabitess. Now, concerning the sons of the many oracles about him, and the repairing of the house of the temple, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. And then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Ezekiel 18 teaches us that it's not starting well, but ending well that counts. Now, Joash began his reign at age 7. You remember the story how Athaliah, Joash's granddaughter or grandmother, had killed all the heirs, but Joash had been hidden. Jehoiada brought him out. Jehoiada's wife was a sister of Ahaziah. And Jehoiada, high priest, guided him all these years. And Jehoiada actually went out and selected two godly wives for him, because one of the reasons why you had such wickedness is marrying pagan wives. I mean, you had Ahab and Jezebel, and you had Athaliah, who was a daughter of Ahab. And so Jehoiada went out and bought two. Now, notice two wives. I mean, Solomon had 1,000. So I said, two's enough, right? You know, today, how many's enough? One. Okay, one's enough. Matter of fact, how did this start? Genesis 2, 1, right? That's how it started. So under Jehoiada's teaching, Joash became concerned with the condition of the temple. He was guided by spiritual leadership. So he ordered priests to take money that had been collected in the treasure and go collect more throughout Judah as they come, and they put the put the chest out in front of the temple and collect the money so the workmen could be paid to repair the temple. And no accounting was made. They noticed it. Could you imagine this today? They just gave the money. The workman says, this is how much it cost, you know. And they just gave it to them, and they did the work, and they did it honestly. Now, the reason why the temple needed to be repaired, because it had been 3 centuries since it was built. And after 3 centuries, things kind of, you know, deteriorate to things like gravity and wear and tear and that type of stuff. And so, but they did not repair it immediately. And the king brought him to say, brought Jehoiada and said, listen, I commanded that you go out and you collect money and, you know, hire workmen and stuff to repair the temple. Why haven't you done that? And so the king said, this is my commandment. The king of the house, the house of the Lord, it's getting kind of shabby. So I want you to go out and I want you to collect the money and then repair it. So when they brought the money in, it was a lot of money. They were able to repair the temple. And so when Joash was 30 years old, he oversaw the building of the temple. Now, Jehoiada guided Joash for many years. However, I want you to notice this, as we find this over in 2 Kings chapter 12, the high places were not taken out. Now, that's a curiosity, isn't it? Because, you know, as godly as Jehoiada was, the high places. We're going to find out in verse 17 why. There's a lot of political pressure here to keep these high places. So sometimes you have to decide between doing what's right and the peer pressure. Jehoiada ignored the high places, but the commandment of the Lord is you're to serve the Lord your God how? Yeah, all your heart, your mind, and soul. And so those high places are going to come into the picture here after Jehoiada dies. Now, Jehoiada died at age 130, which is fantastic for that era. Remember what we were told in Psalm 90? He says, the Lord has determined man's days to be 70 years, if by strength, what? 80. Well, this guy lives to be 130. That's like back in the days of Abraham and Job and those people. Now, once Jehoiada dies, Joash is on his own. Now, it's Joash's time. Now, I want you to notice two things here. First of all, Joash is on his own. Secondly, he does not bring in Jehoiada's son to continue help advising him. Now, his son is going to be the center of attention towards the end of this narrative here. Now, when Jehoiada dies, now we could see what Joash really was about. Notice this, and this pops out of the page back here in the very beginning of the narrative, that in verse 2 he says, Joash did what's right as long as what? Yeah, as long as Jehoiada was alive on all the days of Jehoiada. So after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders came to Joash. Now I want you to notice this in verse 17. They didn't come to him before because Jehoiada was holding the line. Came to the king, said, you know, now that Jehoiada's died, would you relax the regulations about worshiping idols and at the high place? And Joash said, sure. I mean, we just had that ruling in the Roman Catholic Church, right, where Pope Francis says you cannot have homosexual marriages, but you can bless homosexual couples. Why? What does that mean? Yeah, exactly. What does that mean? And so Joash relented, so these men openly sacrificed to idols in the high places, and part of that was drunken orgies and stuff. We have some descriptions in other places in scriptures about that. Joash abandoned what Jehoiada had taught him and became actually antagonistic to God. Now, God sent his prophets to warn Joash, but says they would not what? Not listen. And so to tell them to give them time to repent. And finally, the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, not the same Zechariah we read as a prophet, which comes much later, comes up and then he admonishes them and said, listen, if you don't repent, the Lord's going to send judgment of you. If you reject God, God's going to reject you. Right? And so Joash orders his execution. And Jesus mentions this, that he said that your fathers, he told the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, said your fathers had killed all God's prophets from Abel to Zechariah. Now that works well in English, from A to Z, right? That works very well in English. Doesn't so much in either Greek or Hebrew, but our final letter is Z, Zetas, in the middle of the Greek alphabet. So we have this execution of Jehoiada's son. Now Jehoiada's the one that saved Joash's life, and this is how he repays him, by having his son killed. And they stoned him. And so they persecuted the prophets. So God raises up Hazael again, we've met this guy several times already, of Syria to attack Joash with a smaller force, but God is with the Syrians. Now we see this in other places, like Habakkuk, where the Babylonians come. God actually supports the enemies of Israel because Israel and Judah had rebelled. And so Joash, now isn't this interesting? We find this over in 2 Kings 12. It's not in this passage. In 2 Kings 12, we find that all the utensils he just made for the temple, when he collected all that money, he gives it to the Syrians as a bribe to go away. So he just made the utensils, and he has to give them away because of rebellion. But still, Joash would not repent. So finally, when Joash was recovering from a wound he had in battle against the Syrians, a descendant of a Moabitist and an Ammonitist, traditional enemies of things, and of course, both of them from Lot, comes into his bedchamber on his bed and assassinates him and kills him. Now, there's several lessons to learn from this. Now, by the way, he was buried not with the other kings, because it's been great. I find this very fascinating. He was not buried with the other kings, but Jehoiada was, because Jehoiada had done good unto Israel and what was right. Now, we have several lessons here. First of all, to follow someone else's faith does not make it your faith. You see, there's no such thing as secondhand faith. Matter of fact, the saying is that God has no grandchildren. And so Jehoiada followed along, and listen, because that was what was expected of him. He played the role. But apparently he had not internalized it. Apparently he had not accepted it as his own. And so what we have here is he was following along whatever Jehoiada was saying until Jehoiada died. See, unless you accept belief as your own and the values as your own, as a part of your own system, it's not yours. It's not yours. Eventually, what you truly believe will surface. It'll become manifested. It'll come out. And so that's why John said, 1 John 2:19, those who have left us were never with us, because had they been with us, they would have remained with us unto this day. You know, we find that with Demas, right? Demas, having loved this present world, has left me, said Paul. Now, the lack of repentance demonstrates that a person has not just stumbled and sank back in sin, going to repent, but actually has shown that he never was true in his belief to begin with. You see, when you do what's expected of you, then what you know is right because you believe what is right, then all you're doing is play acting. Now, Joash followed Jehoiada because he was his mentor and had saved his life. And he basically, at that point, I don't want to say he was a puppet, but at that point, he was under guidance, even to the point, and this is the only place I know of in Scripture where a king has someone else pick out his wives. It was probably good, but it's still, we have some issues, as we're going to see down the road from his descendants as well. But he followed him because of his mentor. And once he was free of Jehoiada, it says here in the Scriptures, he forgot all the kindness and all the mentoring he'd done. He just checked, I'm tired of following it this way. You know, I want to do what I want to do. His faith was either very weak or non-existent at all. So Joash was a righteous king up until the time that his mentor dies. There was a silent rebellion seething within Joash, apparently for years. It finally burst forth in due time when he was free of Jehoiada. And one of the sad things we find throughout Christian heritage is the fact that many pretend to follow the Lord or to honor the heritage, but are actually rebels at heart despising the Lord. Numbers 23:32 says, you know, God is not mocked. You make sure your sins will find you out. Now, we all love the story of the prodigal son because he comes back. But many prodigals never come back because there were prodigals from the very beginning, even though they pretended to be something else or thought they were something else, they were following the heritage. But when they really came down to what they desired to do, they left the Lord and they never returned. And we see this over and over and over again. That's why we find over in Matthew 25, he says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. In other words, if you're in the Lord, you're in the Lord all the way to the very end. Let's pray. We should have quite a discussion on this one. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the insight that the Word of God gives us on what true faith is and what it's not, and how it has to be personal and how it has to be on our own. And whatever that faith is, if it's not true, it will eventually manifest itself and the person will drift away. Or may our faith be true. May we stand for all time serving you and praising your holy name and doing your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.